Here in John 1, we're going to look at three verses, verses 40 through 42. And Lord willing, we'll see Christ saving Peter and giving him a new name. And it's a very brief statement. It's a very short few words he speaks after he does a work in providence to bring Peter to him. He says just a few words. We remember last week at John the Baptist, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And there were two disciples of his with him. And they followed Christ. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him and they followed him. And he turned, he asked them, he said, "What seek ye? What seek ye?" And they answered and they said, "Master, wherever you abide, where you dwell, that's what we seek. We want to be with you." This Almighty God right in front of them. The one that dwellest in the secret places. He dwells in the heavens. He dwells in the hearts of His people. And these two disciples of John, the apostles of Christ, they were asking a question, but they were making a statement as well. What do you seek where you dwell? That means on this earth, while we're here, we want to be with you. We want to be with your people. If it's under a tree, if it's under a roof, it's under a bridge, if it's under a house, it doesn't make a difference. Under the stars, out cowboy camping. We want to be with you wherever you are. And not just now. We want to be that in this world. But not just here, in eternity to come, forever. We want to be with you. Imagine your most hated color. The color you dislike the most. I can't stand things that color. I don't like cars that color. Nothing that color. Shirts that color. Don't want to do with it. What if at home, that the Lord prepared for us in heaven, was that color? Would you just cross your arms and say, "Well, I ain't going. I'll wait till they paint it"? No, of course not. That doesn't matter. The location doesn't matter. The circumstances don't matter. Who we're with is what matters. That's what they were seeing. Now let's see Christ deal with Peter. Here in verse 40 it begins. John 1, verse 40. One of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Two men were underneath John. One of them followed him. One of them that followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Of these two men that left John the Baptist and followed Christ, we know for a fact one of them's Andrew. The other one is unnamed. Most likely it was John the Apostle, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't write the Gospel of John. The Apostle John did. But more likely it was John the Baptist. He was opposed fully of using his name. He'd always say, "What?" There was the one there that the Lord loved. The disciple the Lord loved. He was there. He wouldn't use his name. John the Baptist was the same way. He said he was just a voice. Now he had a pedigree, didn't he? He had a great list of family and everything else. And his birth and the angels coming to declare it. The whole hillside knew it. And he said, "I'm a voice. You can't even see a voice. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness." The Apostle John didn't like recognition either. Same as Paul. Paul has said, "Paul, comma, an apostle." Every pastor I know, just about, their bulletins, they may not look at them, but their bulletins have Kevin Thacker, comma, pastor, not Pastor Kevin Thacker. We're not fond of those things. They weren't either. God's watchmen aren't. Others may be. They may like titles reverend and doctor and apostle. In our day, it's nonsense, but they like those things. But these two that followed Christ, they had heard John the Baptist. They sat under John the Baptist preaching. They heard him. They sat under him. They walked after John. They did what John did. They did it the way John did it. The Lord had taught him. But they followed the Lord. They heard John, they sat under John, they walked after John, but they followed the Lord. John was the one teaching them. But he only pointed to Christ. He didn't point to himself. He didn't point to doing something. He didn't point to them. He pointed to the Lord. That was it. No one except the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of following. The greatest man born of Adam, the Lord said of John the Baptist. This was these two preachers, their preacher, Andrew and John. The greatest man born of Adam, and they walked away from him. They just turned. Didn't say bye. They may have. It's not recorded. They didn't say anything to them. It wasn't following a man. They were following who he was preaching. They was following Christ. That's a good picture for us. We ought to learn from that. The Lord's used a lot of men, but people like learning of men. And we glean a lot from them. Gil, wonderful. Gil had a lot of things wrong. He had some things wrong. Brother Pink, Arthur Pink, some things that he has, I love it. There's some things he was just in straight error on. Spurgeon. Love Brother Spurgeon. There's some things Spurgeon had wrong. They're just men. But they point to the same one. They point to the Lord Jesus Christ. When a person's following Christ, that is the same one they point others to as well. Nothing changes. When we hear Christ preach and we follow Him, we're still pointing everybody else to Him. Look here in verse 41. John 1:41. He first findeth his own brother, speaking of Andrew. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. He went to his brother Peter, his loved brother, his family member, one he cared for, loved, and he said, we found the Christ. 4,000 years they've been waiting for this Christ to come. Everybody's been looking for the Messiah to come. And he goes to his beloved brother, and he said, Peter, we're going to quit playing church. We found him. We're going to quit putting on airs and making our voices funny and acting and waving our arms or whatever, chanting things. We're going to follow him. This is him. Andrew had heard John the Baptist point to Christ, heard him say, behold, there he is, there's the Lamb. Then Andrew saw Christ. He heard Christ and he followed Christ. And then he ran to tell Peter. Isn't that just loving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? He caused one of his own, just an earthen vessel, a sinful vessel, caused one of his own to see him, to hear him, to know him. And then he uses that same vessel of grace to go tell another one. How did Peter come in the presence of the Lord? His brother come and got him and said, come and see. Come and see. Just as the Lord told them, come and see. How'd you come to hear this? How did I? Every one of us might be different ways. It was by the Lord's mercy and grace in the power of His providence to draw us to Him. He saw us first. He knew us first and He pulled us to Him. That might be a flat tire in a parking lot. And you say, well, I'm here anyway. I'm going to walk in and go to church. You may have other friends or family members, just as Peter did. Have a brother or sister bring you and say, come and see. Come listen to the Lord. Some are born to believing parents. Lord, put them on this earth underneath believing parents. Others, in times past, come to criticize. We're going to go listen to this man preach. We're going to take notes and we're going to heckle him. We're going to call out, tell him he's lying, and then we're going to write articles in the newspaper, and we're going to ruin his career and his family and his ministry, and we'll get him run out of town. But the Lord works all these things after the counsel of His own will. Whatever means of providence He chooses to use to bring men and women to hear Him is how He chooses to do it. And it's after His will. And it's a rare thing. He brings them under the sound of the gospel. It's a rare, precious thing to find a local assembly of the Lord's people. It ain't common. It's called a remnant. It's rare. There's not much of it. There are very few, and they are very far between oftentimes. But you know when you find one. You might think you found one, but you know when you find one. Because Christ is pointed to. Nothing's changed. He's exalted. He's lifted up in all of His majesty, in all of His power, His glory, His sovereignty in all things, everything. He, the person, is declared and praised. And that's not sometimes. Well, every 6 or 8 months, they'll have a message on Christ and we'll learn something about Him. Or maybe once a month. We might talk a little bit about Him in 15 minutes, and then we're going to get into discipleship and how to be a good husband, and how to raise your kids, and all those things. No, all the time. All the time. If He's preached, you'll know how to be a good husband. You'll see Christ our husband. If He's preached, you'll know how to be a good father. see our Heavenly Father, how He deals with us. Lord, teach them things. The Lord used men and means to bring Peter to Himself. Andrew went to him. In verse 41 it says, He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now we know Andrew didn't find him. He came to Andrew. He came to where Andrew was. What? Any true child of God will tell you, not a false child, not one that ain't a real child, but a true child of God will tell you, I found the Lord because He first found me. I loved Him because He first loved me. I sought Him. I searched Him out diligently because He came to save and to seek and to save me. That's why. He has always looked upon His people. He didn't just start looking on Andrew. He'd always looked upon Andrew and every one of His people throughout eternity. And He looks on them in compassion. He looks on them in mercy. Isn't that comforting? Even when we don't think so. When we're being chastened and whipped and we're given illnesses and sicknesses and sore throats and car wrecks and bankruptcy, whatever it is. The Lord's looking on us in compassion. He's looking on us in mercy. And God must reveal Himself. Hopefully next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking at how He called Nathanael. He sent Philip. Philip had went and talked to Nathanael and he said, Come and see. Come and see. Come to hear Christ preached. Come. Come to Him. And Nathanael didn't have very nice things to say. It wasn't someone just saying you ought to go to church and just in the home. It didn't happen in a home. He said, you come. Come to where Christ is preached. That's where you're going to hear Him. And Nathanael still didn't have nothing good to say. He said, nothing good come out of Nazareth. You kidding me? I guess I'll go down there. I'll see what they have to say. And then when he got down there, it wasn't until he heard Christ that Christ revealed Himself in person to Nathanael. It was personal. It's in person. He must give a new heart to love Him. He must give the new ears to hear Him. And He must give the new eyes to see Him first. Once He does that, then we see Him. Then we hear Him. Then we love Him and our brethren. That's when we love Him. He said, My sheep hear My voice, I know them, and they follow Me. Those He knows, those that hear His voice, those that have been given ears, they follow Him. Who else hears the Lord? No one. No, well, they're pretty close. They don't hear. They don't know the Lord. Only His sheep hears His voice, and His sheep follow Him. He used Andrew to bring Peter to Himself. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Use them brothers to watch the Lord draw His people to Himself. We look back, those that believe now, and we see how the Lord drew us. Things that we thought were bad at the time. A broke leg. Broke down car. And the Lord used every bit of that. Going to a place you didn't want to go to. Part of the country you didn't want to go to. Going to a war you didn't want to go to. And the Lord used every bit of that to bring us right to Him. That's beautiful to watch. To bring us under the preaching of the gospel. Either by a friend, a family member, a phone book. People have found gospel churches on the Maps app on Sermon Audio. I don't know how you use that. They said, what's close? And then went to the first one they found, and the Lord saved them people. Sometimes He sends emotional trouble, trials, heartache, illness, physical, emotional. Whatever His providence is for that hour, for that sheep, that's what He chooses to do. And then, when He brings you in the preaching of the gospel, and He starts giving you ears, you start hearing something. Then He teaches His children. You sit underneath the gospel being preached, and all questions are answered. It takes time. It's not overnight. It's not right then. It might be a week before you hear something in a message that's what you wondered about. It might be 6 months before you hear what you're worrying about, what you have questions about. It might be 6 years. But in the Lord's time, He comes to His children through the preaching of the Word, and He addresses it. He addresses it. I don't have cameras in your all's house. I see everything that goes on in my house. I don't have cameras in your house. I'm not talented enough to know everybody's life and all the intricacies of every day, of what was said, what wasn't said. I ain't there. The Lord is. He's everywhere, isn't He? We can't hide from Him. And He will reveal Himself to His child as he sees fit. What's the result of Peter's brother bringing him to Christ? If someone comes here to hear the gospel, what's the Lord going to do? If it's one of his children, what's he going to do to save? Look here in verse 42, John 1, 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." Peter didn't say nothing. "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which by interpretation, a stone. If you have a marginal reference, it says Peter. Peter, the rock, a stone. We all know Peter, don't we? We've read about Peter, and a lot of people study Peter. I'd imagine he had that attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He had ADHD. He's always bouncing. He's always moving. He's always saying something. Couldn't get him to hush. He was unsettled. He was bouncy, eager to do everything. Ooh, let's do it. Short-minded, just run after things. He's impatient. He's ready to cut off an ear. After the Lord was crucified, he was eager to go fishing, wasn't he? We got to do something now. Let's do something now. He wasn't waiting. Real bouncy, wasn't he? Here he come. The Lord sees him. The Lord speaks to him. And Peter was speechless. Speechless. He didn't say nothing. Why was he speechless? How did the Lord make him speechless? By saying, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." That's all he said to him. He saw him coming. He said, "You're Simon. You're the son of Jonah." And Peter didn't speak. What was he saying to him? What does that mean? He's saying, "Peter, I know you. I know your name. I know your family. I know everything about you." The Lord spoke aloud when he said this. Other people heard him, but he spoke in power to Peter. He spoke in power to Peter, not to everyone. That wasn't that secret manna we just read about to everyone. That hidden manna, that was to Peter. For Peter. And in power, he says to him, "I fully know you. I know you fully." Well, wasn't that a waste for Andrew and John and whoever else was standing around? No. That the Lord chose to do it. He wasn't speaking to Andrew. He wasn't speaking to John. He's speaking to Peter. Showing us he comes to his children individually and speaks to them in power. And he knows us fully. He never met Peter's dad, John, I don't think. But he knew him. He knew all things. That's the omniscient God in front of you. And in power, Peter knew it. Whatever that triggered inside of his head, it was effectual. And I was thinking, we got this screen behind us. We got an overhead projector. If you put all of my actions on that screen, I'd go hide. I don't want people to see that. Every little thing I do. How I blow my nose or whatever. Anything, good, bad, or ugly, I don't want people seeing it. Then what about my thoughts? The things that go through my mind on a daily basis. Do you want it put up on a big screen? Nobody knows those things. People can see the outside, but what about the inside? Your thoughts. What about your dreams? You don't even control your dreams. You just have them. It's a manifestation of who you are that day or whatever. But that's us. We're accountable for them. I wouldn't want that on the big screen. And if it was, if I had to stay in the room, all my thoughts, all my dreams, everything put out there for everybody to see, I ain't saying a word. I brought enough reproach on myself. I ain't saying nothing else. I ain't speaking. Shut up. Shut up to sin. That's what I'd be. Christ comes to His own, and in just a couple words, just calling our name, He convicts us of what we are. Kevin. He chooses to do so. He's got you right there. Then He reveals. He says what we are. Simon, thou son of Jonah. And then He reveals His compassion. Immediately He reveals His mercy. And He reveals His love for His people. Turn over to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, verse 1. Ezekiel 16, 1 says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father spoke to them, spoke to their father. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. He said, I know you. I know your family. I know everything about you. Go speak that to Jerusalem. Verse 4. And as for thy nativity, your birth, your earliest times on earth, from conception. How could he know that? He formed us in our mother's womb, didn't he? And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee. Ain't no different than anybody else. They didn't care. To do any of these things to thee, to walk past you, to have compassion on you. But thou wast cast into an open field, this earth, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. You were born, they didn't even cut your umbilical cord, they threw you out in a field and everybody walked right past you. From your conception, you were utterly helpless. You were utterly, utterly unable to do anything to save yourself. But God, He saves His people to the uttermost, don't He? He shows that to us, our inability, and then He reveals His mercies to us. Look there in verse 6. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thy own blood. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood. You didn't get cleaned up. You didn't clean yourself up. Baby don't know what clean is. When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. That's the miracle of regeneration. People talk a lot about regeneration. They study it, write books on it. That's it. The Lord looks upon His child, and He sees us. He looks on us in mercy, and He says, live. And sinners live. He commands it, live, and they live. Life is Christ. That's what it is to live. That's not winning the lottery. It's not getting a new job and getting better from an illness that you got. It's Christ. That's what life is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Now back in our text are in John 1. John 1:42. It says, and He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, He said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Simon and Jonah, two of the most common names in the land of Israel at the time. No different than anybody else. Apart from the work of the Lord, we're all alike. Every one of us. We're that baby cast into the field. There's no difference made except He makes a difference. I sat and thought about that this week, and the Lord speaks in power personally, and He says, I know you. I know everything about you. I've seen you in your blood, in your sin. And then He gives a new name. He gives a new name. He gives the name of life. He gives His name. Christ the life. But imagine being a grown, mature man, if this wasn't in power, or a grown, mature woman, and you're independent, and you're successful, you feed yourself, you got a job, you got a house you live in, food to eat, you're strong, and some unappealing person, an uncomely person, someone you have no desire to be around, comes up to you and says, I'm going to give you a new name. What would I do? If I was walking down the street, and someone could just, a man came up to me and said, I'm going to give you a new name. I'd probably just say, I don't have any change, and I keep walking. I got no money on me. Leave me alone. Beat it. Give me a new name. I've had this name my whole life. You ain't giving me a new name. That's insulting, isn't it? I just keep on walking. But when the Lord God Almighty comes to a sinner, not some man, the God man, when He comes to a sinner, He exposes their nakedness before a holy God, and they see His majesty and His glory in direct opposition to what we are, then we welcome a new name. Then we take that new name, don't we? Is Peter the only grown up that ever got a new name in the Scriptures? Abraham. He was Abram, wasn't he? The Lord said, you ain't Abram no more, you're Abraham. Sarai. The Lord said, your name's Sarah now. Abraham's wife. Jacob. Praise the Lord for Jacob, don't we? supplanter, deceiver. The Lord wrestled with him. And he said, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. And he said, your name's Israel. Your name's Israel now. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. This closes the mouth of many a mighty people, strong-willed and intellectuals and proud people, proud natural man, that they have a choice and they have strength in themselves, understanding in themselves. The Lord has the right to do with His own as He sees fit. He's the potter, we're the clay. That's as plain as He made it. Pretty plain, isn't it? Look here in Romans 9, verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Did the Lord do that? It's happening right now, isn't it? We ain't nothing but vessels of wrath in this nation and in this world. Ain't a man or woman on earth outside of Christ that's not a vessel of wrath. He hasn't destroyed them yet. Verse 23, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He afore prepared unto glory. Those He loved before time, those He knew before time, that He knows all about. He was going to reveal Himself to them. He's going to make them vessels of honor, vessels of mercy. That's why He's suffering this world. Verse 24, even us, whom He hath called, it's His work, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As He said in Osi, it's Hosea. As He also saith in Hosea, I will call them My people, which were not My people. And her beloved, I'll call her beloved, which was not beloved. We were not His. We were not beloved in our flesh. We came in this world in Adam, but we're called by His grace. He calls us beloved. He calls us His people. We need to be like Peter. And a believer will be. A child of God will be. If the Lord's worked in him. If the Lord reveals Himself to us, we will be shut up to sin. He'll make it happen. He will chasten us in whatever way means necessary to teach us to keep our mouth shut. Like that overhead projector with all my thoughts, dreams, and actions on it. I wouldn't speak a word. I'm not bringing up anything. That's how He brings us. You want to get older, you say less. You want to grow in grace, you want to grow in meekness. Grow in understanding. Like sheep, physically, our tail's going to hang down. I had a landlord one time that had hair sheep. They look just like goats. They don't have wool. They're still a sheep by DNA. But I thought, how in the world could you tell them apart? They had goats too. You just tell by the tail. A goat's tail sticks up. Look at me. I know some stuff. Let me tell you what I think. You ever have people, they don't listen to what you have to say. They listen for you to stop talking so they can tell you what they think. That's a goat. Its tail's up in the air. Lord tucks our tails just like a sheep. Now back in our text. But what a name we're given when He does that. That's painful. It hurts, but we're given a precious name. It says in verse 42, and He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, the Lord looked on him. He said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Nothing. No different than anybody else. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Your name now is Cephas. Your name now is Peter. A rock. A stone. Not the rock. He's not Christ the rock, but He's a rock. Same as His master. Naturally bouncy. Wavering all the time, tossing to and fro, all over the place, passionate about many things, worried just like Martha over many things, concerned. Now he's a stone. Now he's steady. He's steady in the gospel. That's what he's steady in. He's steady in the Lord, and he's steady forever in Him. Not steady outwardly necessarily. Not in his flesh. He may not be steady. He wasn't steady. But in that new man, the Lord just put in him, he's steady. He's a rock. That old man didn't go away in Peter. As we read over the next 3 years, as he walked with the Lord, everything he did, that old man didn't go nowhere. There was a new man now. Now he's two natures. But the old man was still there. A man told me one time, I never met him. And he said, when we was going through Romans, he said, you need to hurry up and get out of Romans 7 and get to Romans 8. My pastor told me years ago, and they thought he was just making a joke. Romans 8 comes after Romans 7, doesn't it? Like, this ain't a math problem. You go through Romans 7. You experience that before you experience Romans 8. And when you get to Romans 8, oh, the grace, the mercy, the pleasure, the rejoicing, 7's still there. It wouldn't disappear in ink. It didn't go away. It's still there with us, isn't it? As it is with each child of God, every one of His children, whether they're apostles, Peter was an apostle, or they're prophets, or preachers, or teachers, or servers at the cookout. Don't make a difference. They cut grass, they just show up, pray, and leave. However, they serve doesn't matter. How the Lord deals with them is the same. The Lord chose Peter before the foundation of the world, as He does with all His children. And in the appointed time, in the appointed place, by the appointed means, the preaching of the gospel, but how the Lord determines to use that, the men and the means that He chooses, the Lord come to Peter. He revealed Himself to Peter, and He showed him what He was. And He declared Christ's righteousness in him. The Lord our righteousness. And He was given His name, which is above every name. The Lord our righteousness. That's what whereby she shall be called. That's what the name the bride gets, her husband's name. This is how we're all born. In Adam, like all his fallen race, we're just common. We're a Simon. We're a Jonah. Run of the mill. But in Christ, we're made alive. A difference was made. Who makes thee to differ? Lord does. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam, after that manner that in Adam all die, even so, in the same way, in Christ shall all be made alive. Everyone in Him shall live. It'll happen. He'll come to them. When we're made alive in Christ, He comes to us and He gives us life, and we're given a new name. We don't have that old name no more. It might still be with us. People still call Paul Saul. Snarky too, I bet. Hey, Saul. Just to pick at him. Or they'd say it real high and lofty. They'd say Paul, but make it real flowery and sarcasm. Just to eat at him. Turn over to Isaiah 62 and we'll wrap it up. Isaiah 62. Here's where we're given that new name. Isaiah 62, verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. It means devastation. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. That means my delight. And thy land Beulah. Married, covenant land. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. When Kimberly and I were married, she received my name, and she received my land, and she received my everything. She can use my toothbrush if she wants to. Whatever has my name on it, that's hers. We are one. So it is with Christ when He comes to us. We see Him as He is, and we see us as we are at the same time. We see Him as He is, and we're made one with Him. We're married to Him, made one with Him, and He gives us His name. He gives us Him, and He is our inheritance. Isn't that something? I look forward to my new name. I look forward to not having His name no more. It'll be nice one. Let's pray together. Father, as it pleases You, be with us. Lord, we're a needy people. Lord, we're so unsteady and easily moved. Lord, we're so frail, weak in ourselves. Give us life in Your Son. Give us Christ our rock. Christ our apostle. Our high priest, Lord. Allow us to see Him. Allow us to see His strength in our weakness. What a blessing that is. Lord, You've given Him a name above every name. What a thought. Christ, our inheritance. Lord, bless your people. Comfort them as they need comfort. Instruct them. Chasten us as we need chasing. Lord, but be with us. You promised you'll never leave us and never forsake us, Lord. Allow us to dwell on that in all things. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.